Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you may have read about or even watched All's Fair, the new legal drama starring, among many others, Kim Kardashian. And the consensus seems to be that it's terrible, not even in a trash TV that's still fun way, yet it's been just renewed for a second season. It seems as if being rubbish works. But why? We're joined by Jessica Shine from the Media Communications Department of Munster Technological University. Good afternoon, Jessica.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are things?
Not too bad. So are we, you know, there was an era of prestige TV. Is that over now?
I don't think so. I think there's a confluence of factors about why All's Fair has kind of taken off. And I think there's a, you know, there's a thing called hate watching now, which is deeply popular. People love doing it. And it kind of goes back to a time of like communal watching, you know, where people are watching something to discuss it as much, you know, to, like we used to do around a water cooler when in the days when people worked in offices. But people are logging on now to discuss things. And sometimes when something is so bad, it's discussable, you get excited, you know, and you're like, OK, I can't wait to see how the internet is going to react to this. I can't wait to see how Reddit is going to react to this. I can't wait to see the memes. And there's something really special for you, I think, as a person viewing it, when you recognize something is going to be a meme, you know. You watch a scene and you're like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see what the internet will do to this. But I think it's a very different kind of watching to prestige television, right? You know, if you watch something like Mad Men or if you watch something like The Sopranos, you were talking about how amazing a performance was or how amazing a plot line was or, you know, how deeply affecting a storyline might have been for you. So there's lots of ways to watch things. And I think, you know, the prestige television made us sort of think about one way of watching, which was as art form. But there's also entertainment. There's also enjoyment of trash, like you mentioned there in your introduction. And I think this is really an enjoyment of trash in a hateful sort of way, that you watch it for the snark. And you watch it for the snack that other people have about it on Reddit.
Yeah. Though, I mean, there seems to be a huge, all the various housewives and Mormon housewives, etc. Like, there's a whole genre of television, whether it's fictional or so-called reality TV, and it's all pretty fictional, really. But it seems to be each show builds on the other in its terribleness to see how far they can push it.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And like, I remember I was watching All's Fair and I was like, this is straight out of the Selling Sunset book. You know, there's like a moment where all of the four main lead ladies walk in slow-mo and they get out and you can, you know, get out of their cars and they're girl bossing. It's, you know, it's a thing called girl bossing. And of course, Selling Sunset is, you know, big Netflix breakout hit for reality television. And it's really funny because I know you mentioned that All's Fair is a legal drama. And there's not a single bit of law discussed. None of the cases are won by any lawyering. They're won by, you know, snapping your fingers and going, mm-hmm. And they're won by, like, this revenge, really. It's a show about revenge as opposed to a show about law. And Selling Sunset, you know, on Netflix is exactly the same thing. You know, in the early seasons, it was about selling high-end luxury real estate. But the latest season was literally about the office drama, about the crazy things people were saying to each other. I mean, hateful, vicious things. It was about the internet stardom of the reality stars themselves, about their Instagrams, about what they said on Instagram. And there was hardly any houses sold in a real estate, you know, reality show. And again, it's because people are watching it because they want to. There's kind of a parasocial thing as well, you know, with these things that people feel related to these kind of characters through the exposure, through memes, through their Instagrams, through their social media. And I think with All's Fair, casting Kim Kardashian, who's not noted for her acting ability in the main role, is drawing on that star power as much as it's drawing on, you know, any credibility in her acting chops. And, you know, it's all about the fashion as well. I think All's Fair, the outfits are really ridiculous. You know, they're not something you'd ever wear. There's a scene where Kim Kardashian arrives at a meeting in chaps, like literally chaps, not even pants. And there's no way a lawyer would show up in clothes like that. And you're just watching it for the outrageousness of the outfit. And that was going on with other shows as well. And just like that, the Sex and City reboot, I remember watching that, and Sarah Jessica Parker comes out in this gingham hat that's bigger than her entire person. And I literally, the minute I saw that hat on the telly, I was like, I went straight to Reddit. I went straight to TikTok to see the memes. And there's about six articles on that hat alone available on things like the BBC, on NPR, etc. So people are definitely doing what they're calling meme-forward television productions, or meme-forward lines or costumes, because they're seeing this potential to have like reproducibility in other media as you're watching television.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's television that's specifically designed for people to double screen, that they assume you're not paying attention. So they kind of, if there are any plot points, they're few and far between.
Yeah, and that's definitely a factor. You know, there was a very famous article recently suggesting that Netflix was asking, you know, the producers of Netflix were asking writers, is this second screen enough? And I don't think there's a lot of evidence empirically about whether that's actually happening, but it's definitely, there's a feeling that shows are being written, or writers are aware of the fact that people are on second screens. But I don't think that's actually a new phenomenon. Obviously, the second screen is a new phenomenon. But I was talking to my colleague about this show, and he was calling it wallpaper television. It was a great phrase. And, you know, it's an old fashioned form of television. You know, things like Days of Our Lives, Knots Landing, you know, all of those kind of trashy sort of soap operas that were on in daytime when people were doing other things in the house. You know, they were doing their ironing, they were cooking in the kitchen, and the television was on in the background, and then the music would like go dun dun dun, and you turn around and you get that plot point, and you could go away for, you know, another 5 minutes of the dialogue, zone out, and then they'd signal again through some sort of slow motion or something that something important was going to happen, or a close up. And you could tune back in. And, you know, television has always had that sort of type of television. And I think you mentioned prestige television there. We've got kind of spoiled with television as an art form, but there's room, I think, for a type of television where people just put it on as an ambient background and enjoy it, you know, for the costumes, enjoy it for the silly, ridiculous dialogue. And you can't even quote All's Fair on daytime radio, because some of the dialogue is just, it's crass, and I'm not prunish.
Yeah.
But it's the rudest, some of the rudest dialogue I've ever heard, things that are actually like violently disgusting. And, you know, again, you're shocking people into watching that sort of sequence or rewinding it. So I think there's been a space in our lives for trash. I don't think anyone was going to review Days of Our Lives and give it more than 0 stars anyway. But the thing was that people weren't expected to review that kind of television. It was never pitched as art. So I think the thing that's kind of confusing is, I don't think this is ever pitching itself as art. I don't think it's meant to be a highbrow legal drama like The Practice or something. You know, it's meant to be exactly what it is: campy, frivolous, fluff. And if you recognize it as that, it's enjoyable, and enjoyment and good aren't always the same thing.
Yeah. It almost seems like it's, you watch an episode of All's Fair and you haven't really watched an episode. You've watched a collection of memes jammed together, or moments jammed together. And that's what it wants to draw your attention to, rather than when you finished. And I don't know how long each episode is, you know, do you think, well, that was an interesting story arc, that this happened and that happened, or is that utterly irrelevant?
So for the first two episodes, definitely that was my feeling. And then something really dark happens in episode 4. And then I was like, oh my God, this is a really massive tonal shift. So I'm not going to give any spoilers, but a character is drugged and assaulted. I won't tell you who it is, but is a sudden, like massive, like it was almost like a, you know, like a DJ sort of scratch moment. And I was like, are they really going to go there? And it was really shocking. It's actually dealt with well enough for one episode. And then the next episode, they're snapping fingers and acting like it never kind of happened. So, in a way, it is. And we have that sort of tonal pendulum shift in our own lives day to day as well. You know, you could be scrolling Instagram and, you know, you could be watching something about somebody in a supermarket who's talking about a nice treat. And then the next thing you're seeing images that are really shocking and horrifying. And then you're back to somebody doing a joke. We're kind of getting used to that tonal shift, right? And this series is a bit like that. There was an episode, an incident in episode two where somebody asks to vape on a balcony. And then they literally fling themselves off the balcony. And I was like, wow. It was like the IT Crowd episode when that happened. But the IT Crowd is pitched as a comedy. And you're meant to laugh at it, you know? And I was like, am I meant to find this funny? Or is this some sort of attempt to do something serious? And Ryan Murphy, who's the producer of this, is kind of famous for that. You know, he's got that monster series that's focused on kind of very famous serial killers. And he's had that kind of tonal issue before where people have given out about him camping up really serious things. And of course, you've got American Horror Story and all those kind of TV series. So he's kind of famous for pushing the boundaries of what you can do within a campy tone. And I suppose it's kind of the grotesque, and people are drawn to that. People are drawn to the grotesque.
Maybe he's making some sort of comment about vaping is bad for you. Jessica, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Jessica Shine there from Munster Technological University.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, and with Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your favorites and still hit your health goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.